an AppleViz original. Chime just offers the voice version. I like the voice.
You use the voice?
Mm-hmm. It's 1 o'clock.
Did you know he sounded exactly like Homer Simpson?
That was a pretty good. That was, now that you say it, I'm like, oh, I totally, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. It's 1 o'clock.
That was
it's
good.
It's workshop night.
Tap on double tap. It won't let you assign anything to it.
No.
I mean, no, it sounds, no, there's a lot of tapping going on there.
Oh, that's not what I mean.
Double tap on triple tap.
Right.
Triple tap. It was a setup, right?
I'm sorry.
The wolves have come.
Welcome, mortals. Hello, and welcome to another AppleViz Unleashed. This is for September 2020. I am your host, Thomas Domville. I also go by the name of Anonymous, and I am here with my co-host, and we got Mike Malarcy. Howdy, Mike.
Hi, it's good to be here.
I know. It's like, did you ever get your snow?
No, it hasn't snowed yet, but it's been pretty almost cold enough. It's been in the low 30s lately.
All right, so we mentioned last month that we were like, I bet you're going to get snow by the time we had this. So I was wrong because
it got close.
It snowed just on the other side of the mountain there of yours in Wyoming and Montana. Yep. But, and my other co-host, so let's not leave him sitting around. He'll get cranky.
I'm already cranky.
Randy Rushnick, how you
Hello,
doing?
Hello, everybody. How are y'all?
You know, October is almost among us. It's going to be the Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That spooktacular month.
And for those of you who don't know about Audible Clock from Amazon, you have it on, you can activate Audible Clock. I've got mine set to Halloween right now. So if you hear any creepy sounds at the quarter hour, that's it.
Oh, is it a skill that is always on?
Yeah, Audible Clock is a skill. It's funny, we're talking about Amazon stuff and this is an Apple event. yeah. And it's a skill that you invoke and it will give you like a choice of maybe 50 clocks that you can choose from.
And it always goes off all the time. So, I mean, you can use the A-Lady for other things while it's still running?
Well, it's turns it into a streaming device. So if you play the radio portion of it or activate the something else with audio like Spotify or whatever, it will kill the stream and you have to enable it again. A lot of people are confused about that.
Yeah, I mean, the skills is meant to be running all the time, and if it has to interrupt it to do something else, it'll stop it. But yeah, that makes sense.
I know people that have buy dots and enclose it into a clock case and run that for their clock. pretty
funny. They dressed it up as a clock. That's cute.
But they have gorgeous sounds to them, like chimes and different clocks.
What is their Halloween sound?
What is it?
Yeah.
It's all different.
Okay.
One was a black cat, and I was coming up like onto somebody's porch. You could hear like a gate opening, and then Alexa would say, "Whoops, sorry about that." Then the A lady would say, "Happy Halloween."
Oh man! Well, guys, I went to Florida this month so to catch some rays, and I had to mention that because this is the first time we had a rental that actually had an Apple CarPlay into the system. I have never seen touch an Apple CarPlay. Have you guys even touched or seen one?
Nope.
No.
It was just funky because as soon as my wife plugs her phone into the car, boom, it recognized that you have an Apple phone and it turned the screen into kind of a miniature app screen, what she was saying. So you receive all your messages and your phone and all and your maps go on the screen. I thought that was really, really cool. So it was our first experience. I mean, I would probably never be able to afford a car that would have CarPlay on it.
I was going
to
say, was that Angela's car or was that a rented car?
It was a rental car while we were down in Florida. And we got a Kia Soul and it was built into it. And with the weird thing, it had both. It had the Apple CarPlay and the Android.
Oh my gosh.
So it'll detect whichever phone you had. And that I thought was smart. I thought that was excellent. And we enjoyed it. It was really cool.
I got to be honest with you. I only, my friends, Well, to put it bluntly, I only ride in clunkers, probably from the 1990s or so, which that stuff was never heard of. So nobody I know even travels in those circles.
Hmm. Well, that's okay, man.
Which says a lot about me, I guess.
You're a clunker?
I guess so.
Well, as you guys know, that the Apple Time Fly keynote was announced and went by us. So it wasn't really a press release after all, as we mentioned before. A lot of people thought it would just be a press release of announcements of the various iPods, iPads, I should say, and the Apple Watch. And, you know, I'm kind of glad they did. It was kind of awfully nice because it was separated a little bit. So it wasn't as long as it was like 60 minutes long. But in this podcast, we're just going to do just some, we're just going to pick some of the details. If you ever want to hear the whole detail about the show, listen to the AppleViz Extra, the last one with Dave Nason, Tyler Steven, and Scott Davert. They did a fantastic job in detailing everything you want to know about the Apple Time Fly keynote. Come fly with me. Fly with me. It was roughly about 60 minutes. I listened to the audio describe. This was the first show, I believe, that had live audio describe as you watch the show. Unfortunately, I was in Florida. Well, not unfortunately. I was very happy in Florida. I listened to it on the way home, I should say. And it was short, to the point. I loved it. I really liked this no face-to-face kind of a thing, this virtual stuff. I don't get me wrong. I think that it adds more pizzazz, or whatever you want to call it, to the show when people are there. But I don't know. It just seems like it's very flawless. It's just like back-to-back. And it just
Things run a little smoother, I think.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask you guys. Now, I forget. Every time I ask you, I forget. So do both of you – I know Randy has an Apple Watch. What about you, Mike? Do you have an Apple Watch?
I have one. I think it's a 3, but that kind of answers the question. I'm not even sure where it is right now. I have not had it on recently. I'll put it that way.
Oh, wow. So you have a Series 3. Okay. And Mr.
I have a 3 as well.
So you have a Series 3.
I know where mine is. It's on my arm right now.
Yeah. I think it's in a cupboard somewhere. I'm just not sure which one.
Interesting.
But I have to be honest with you guys. I think I'm slated for a new watch of some type.
So were you impressed by the Apple Watch 6 series or Series 6?
Well, I'm, yes.
Or as I get a little impressed by the discounted stuff like the SE.
I am. You know, I don't think I need an oxygen indicator or an EKG monitor, although, you know, maybe by the time a couple more series updates, I may think about it. But I'm thinking of both SE models, to be honest with you.
Right. Because as you said, this keynote, they mentioned about the Series 6 being 20% faster, but the most important thing was the blood oxygen level. And, you know, I could see that being important for some that may have like asthma or any type of issues with breathing. I think that would be kind of a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought the U1 chip that was built into it is also kind of a cool thing, which we'll talk to you in a few minutes. But like you said, Randy, I think the biggest draw or the biggest, I think the biggest one was the Watch SE. I was like, I heard rumors about the low end. I thought it would be the Series 3, just kind of the same thing.
Yeah, me too, but it ain't that way.
No, it's like it's got the same look as the 4, 5, and 6 series. And I don't know what kind of chip that goes into it.
It's not, though. Actually, it is the same chip that you have as the SE will have. Or has, I should say. So you really wouldn't gain much by updating to, you know, for an SE as you stand, because you got the 5. So there isn't really much difference.
No.
And even between the SE and the 6, there's only a fractional second of a difference between receiving notifications or anything. I have to tell you guys, I've been really researching this a lot on YouTube and doing some comparison. So because of them, I really know what I'm talking about.
You listen to others and say, I know now.
Yeah, boy, if you're a YouTube watcher like I am, you really get to know the facts. It's really cool stuff. And
yeah,
So I'm really, really, really thinking about getting the SE, and I don't know if there are any plans or not, but as you guys know, if you go to apple.com and then go to the shopping area, I don't know if iPhones have, but I know the SE you can get for like $11 a month for 2 years. And man, that's in my price range.
Oh, definitely. You know, this time of the year, as we were just talking beforehand, October, November is coming up, and usually we'll start seeing lots of big deals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got my fifth series that way. I got a huge discount. I kid you not, I got a half off back in January.
Where did you get it from?
I got it from my carrier at that time. It was formerly known as Sprint.
Oh, we're actually on the same network now, you and I.
Yes, we are. We're now buddies. We're in T-Mobilins.
Well, that wouldn't matter. You're my buddy no matter what carrier you're on, Tom. Uh-oh, here goes the Halloween clock.
Oh, I did hear that. I didn't hear. I just heard it go off. That was
it's coming right now.
It kept going in and out, but I heard a little bit of it.
Okay.
I think I heard a squeaky gate. Was that what that was?
Yeah.
Something squeaky. It's kind of fun.
The SE was the bomb. I mean, I think that's what stole the show was the SE. That, I mean, it was 2 times faster than the Series 3 that is out. And I thought the price for $279 was well marked, because typically the former watch usually goes on sale. And obviously, you know, they dumped all that. So goodbye, 3, 4s, and 5s. There is no Series 3, 4, 5 anymore. So
actually, Series 3 actually is still being sold.
Oh, you're right. I think you're right. It is being sold for $199, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like for another $40, you get a brand new SE. I don't get it.
Here I am saying that it wasn't available, and then I said, okay. Yep. That's just for me spacing out.
Well, that's okay.
But yeah,
I'll carry the show. Don't worry about
that's
it.
That's right.
You just need to watch more YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike, say that again.
I was just saying he needs to watch more YouTube so he can have all the facts.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where the truth lives.
And that way I'll be.
People love this stuff. They just eat this up.
This don't knowledge, you,
audience?
Don't we all want to be as knowledgeable as Randy? You know?
Don't you guys? Who doesn't want to be like I am? Oh, look at all the hands that went up there.
So yes, you're right. Series 3 is $199, the SC is $279, and what is it? $399 for the Series 6 bottom level. So it starts at $399. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my gosh, I totally agree with you. I think what stole the show was that SC, and I think the $279. This was a brilliant move on Apple's part. I think it was absolutely brilliant. They actually brought in a device that is an SC, is a little cheaper. And they also brought some kids stuff in it too. And it kind of make it's kind of funny to see them. They're trying to make you convince these parents to buy their kids these Apple Watches, $279 watch to use in place of the phones.
So let me ask you, Thomas, when you were offered to get that watch, did you outright buy it, or did you put it on payments when it was half off? Or did they even offer that?
Yes, it did offer payments. I want to say it was $6, $8, something like that.
It's almost like you really need this, you know?
Well, I was like, you know what? I'll wait for these sales, and if it gets that cheap, I've got it. And I mean, I came from a Series 1 to a 5. Holy smokes, that was a huge
jump. So let's take our SEs. Let's say that you and I have get the SE. Or even your 5 has got the same processor chip built in, so it doesn't matter. How about that walkie-talkie mode? Do you think that will have improved any?
I it wasn't so much of the walkie-talkie feature I had a problem with. It was more of the reality usage of it. I mean, if you couldn't hear – now, my Series 1, it was pretty quiet. So when somebody tried to to walkie talk to me, I could not hear them because it was very, because I was out and about doing something. So if you weren't listening for that, and if I did hear, I didn't hear what they said, I'd go back and it was.
Well, that's why you slow. Ignored me most of the time then, huh?
That's it. Yeah, I'm busy. Uh-huh. No, honestly, I either I couldn't hear it or I missed it. And I hate that part when you miss it. And I get it. That's what the walkie-talkie is supposed to be about. But I haven't tried it with a Series 5. I am curious if it is any faster. Have you tried it on the 3?
Well, the 3, between the 3 and the 5, I wonder if it would make a difference. I'm not sure, but between the two processors that are the 5 and the SE, I wonder if that would make a difference. That's,
I would think it would, because my gosh, I can just go tap 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 tap. It flick 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 so much quicker. There's no lag as I did with my Series 1. And when I flick, I had at least a second delay. And now
not it's like the update in iOS 14, right?
Oh. yeah, exactly. Not like that at all. Which, by the way, did you get the watchOS 7 on your Series 3?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to warn people about that. I was reading just today and yesterday, and we even had a Jessica Dale on one of our beta team on AppleVis. She's been talking about how it's been crashing all the time, and none of us were like, we're not seeing this. And
sure I'm not enough, seeing it either.
Yeah, I guess it's official. There are a lot of people's reporting, and it's just on the Series 3. It just keeps crashing. And sometimes it'll just reboot the watch. And so apparently it is known, and it is an issue. So hopefully we'll see it. But you have
where
not
does she live?
It.
Where? What area is she in?
I do not know.
Well, just pull any city out, because I'll make
I know it, she's in Eastern. So that's not,
okay.
That's
well, that's why.
Does that make a difference for you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just pick Baltimore. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this only happens to Baltimoreans.
Okay. There you go. It only happens to Baltimoreans. But it's official. You know, the Apple Watch boxes do not come with a brick charger, as everybody anticipated. Nope. It's not in there. I think it'll definitely be gone. And, but you know what? It's kind of funny, you know, if you want that brick, I am curious how much that brick costs us. If I were to go to Apple Store, what do you think? 10, 20 bucks probably?
Yeah, but how many people don't have tons of bricks floating around?
Well, let's just say you're an Android and you just now want to come over to the iPhone or the watch. I don't know.
That's their problem. I don't really care about
that. Well, you know, I got some people that said they've gone through chargers and it just went bad on them. Now, that's weird because I still use some pretty old chargers and they still seem to work just fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you had to replace it, the point was is that you had to spend $20 on it. Okay, I'm fine with that, but discount my watch by $10 or $20, and they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of a little annoyed with that, and I'm sure the iPhones will be the same way. Oh, no, we're not going to pass the offer down. We're not going to do that.
No, they should, I think. And I have a 10-port USB charger, and I never have regretted buying that thing.
Me neither. I love my, I have a Circle one that's a USB charge, and it has like 7, I think. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it does fast charge, and it's one of those that detects what kind of device you have. Mm-hmm. So I don't even really do wireless charging anymore just because it charges so much faster.
You know what? I'm the same way. And it's like only if I have to, I use wireless charging.
Yes.
I mean, I love the convenience of it. You can just slap it on there. But man, it's so slow. It's like,
it is slow. And, you know, my son has this cool thing on his, you know, when he drives, he has this phone mount. You know, everybody has this, some sort of a phone mount. Mm-hmm. He has one where it's just, you just stick on it, it's just magnetized and it just sticks to his phone and then it charges it. And I was like, it's wireless. So he doesn't have to keep plugging in and out. I said, oh, wow, that is a great idea.
Makes me want to go out and buy a car.
You should. With the whole CarPlay and all that stuff.
Come with me, Mike, and we'll shop together. You and I will.
Yeah. Tesla?
Yeah. Okay.
Why not?
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll have an order of Tesla with my chicken.
Oh, man. Okay. So they also announced the Apple One bundle I want to talk about. And this was also, we did announce it last month, but it was a little bit different than the tiers that we thought. You know, I mentioned about the basic, middle, and premium, and really there's only two tiers. There's the Apple One and the Apple One Premium, which I thought was pretty interesting as they were talking about the prices. That was the key thing about this. And when they told the prices, I about fell to the floor. For me, it did. So I know I'll be interested to hear about you guys. But so let's go over this Apple One bundle. So if you want to get a bundle of services from Apple, they will be offering the Apple One bundle, which is the basic or the entry model. You will get Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and 50 gig of iCloud storage for individual users for $14.99, or for $19.99 for family sharing for 200 gigabytes of iCloud storage. And you save $6 for individual and $8 on the family sharing. I tell you what, right now, this is what I have. I have Apple Music, I have Apple TV Plus, and I have, all of us have Apple Cloud 99 cents. And we're spending $20 just alone right there. I think, wow, I'm going to go ahead. We're definitely going to get it for $20. I mean, you.
Oh, yeah.
There's kind of no reason not to.
Exactly. If you're paying for the same thing, you're going to get the arcade, which I'm not going to be able to use, but other people in the house will be able to use it. And I just thought the price was really, whoa, it's just, I was surprised that it was that big of a difference. I figured it'd be about $2-3 Apple, but boy, they really want to push the services big time, yeah, don't they?
I was expecting it to be much more expensive than that.
Right. But the premium Apple One, check this out. For $29.99, you get all what I mentioned, plus 2 terabytes of iCloud data and the Apple News Plus and the Fitness Plus that was also announced. But you have to have an Apple Watch to be able to use that. But regardless, it goes for $29.99. You save, I think, about $25 on that plan. I was like, wow. What do you guys think of the Apple One plan?
If I had internet that was reliable, like to the point where we could actually stream things, I would definitely get that first one, because we do have the family plan for Apple Music, but that's the only one. If we actually had the ability to stream shows, I would get that first bundle for sure. I don't need 2 terabytes of storage, and like the stuff that comes in the premium bundle is just not anything I would probably ever use, but I'd absolutely get that first one.
Well, let's just say, so you and I have Apple Music family sharing. That's what? That's already $15 a month, right?
Yeah, 15. And I think we have the same storage plan that you'd mentioned, at like 99-cent one, just for backups.
So you're spending the same amount if you have the iCloud backup, and you might as well spend $2 or $3 more to get the $20. And when you can use the Apple TV Plus and the Apple Arcade for your girls and your wife, I don't know. It's just a thought.
Well, but here's my first thought. You said Apple Arcade for the kids, and I was like, what if I tell them we have that? Then they're going to start hounding me for devices to use that.
Christmas is right around the corner, though.
I want to make sure no one in my family listens to this.
Black Friday's coming, Dad.
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy more devices. My kids are still using the last iPad that they smashed. The screen is like spider web cracked. And I told them I'm not buying anyone.
Have, man?
They're just wild animals.
They just smash stuff up and just destroy things.
Well, you know how kids are. Yes. Like the 6-year-old plays on the iPad and then sets it down on the floor to go get a snack, and then I walk through the room.
Oh, scrunch. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Your big feet. Yeah.
Yep. It's true. And I stop everywhere I go. So it just was really bad positioning. And I said, well, you got to play on the broken one. I'm not buying a new one.
Well, okay. All right. This is valid points. Valid points.
But it's tempting. It is still tempting.
It is tempting. I mean, it's only $2 more for you. If you and your wife have the iCloud, that's already $17.99.
Yep.
So $2 more. I don't know. I know Randy. You're not interested.
You're already seeing it coming. But
yeah,
look at it from my end, though, too. I'm paying $16 for my premium subscription to Netflix, because I got, you know, family watching it, and you know, it just it's just something that we all use.
What other services you have?
The only other one is Spotify, and okay. I've got that for family sharing as well, and that's like, I don't know, what is that, like $15 or something? So I'm paying like 30 some dollars for music services and streaming services. So
would it be worth it to you for $5 more?
Huh?
For $5 more, you can get the Apple TV Plus and get your iCloud boost up.
I could, but I honestly don't see anything on the streaming service that I would really use, I don't think.
There's the other clock.
Yeah, that's that's on my iPhone right now.
It is?
Yeah. That's
wow.
You know which one that is? That's
yeah, Chimes.
Westminster.
Westminster.
Yeah.
I use Chimes. I like that one.
You like that one? I should try
I
that
do.
One.
I do. And it's not as elegant and as gorgeous as the Westminster, but Chimes just offers the voice version. I like the voice.
You use the voice?
Mm-hmm. It's 1 o'clock.
Did you know he sounded exactly like Homer Simpson?
That was a pretty good. That was, now that you say it, I'm like, oh, I totally, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. It's 1 o'clock. That was it's good. It's up night.
The other announcement, and I will move on, is the AppleCare Plus. You guys, do you guys ever buy this AppleCare Plus service?
I never have.
Me neither, but how about you, Randy?
So let me ask you a question while we're talking on that. And if you were to buy a phone today,
yeah,
would you put AppleCare on all the good stuff that comes to like $11 on your device? Would you do that?
See, that's the thing. I'm not sure if I want to spend $11 a month on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But the new update on the Care Plus that they announced was now you could have 2 accidental occurrence per year, where they had 2 in 2 years. Now they'll give you 4 in 2 years. I thought, wow. Now I will say this, my wife and my son, both time they had their devices, they chipped their phone. You know, not on purpose or anything, but they're just notoriously known to have chip in the phone. Huh. And so it makes like me new. Wonder. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if it's just the way I care for it or I just don't drop it. I mean, it's not like I drop it on purpose, but it just seems like I've dropped it a couple of times. And fortunately, they've been carpet. I think I've only dropped it on a concrete once, but it was.
But very, you have a case, though, don't you?
I do. But you know what? Case doesn't mean anything. My son's girlfriend had an iPhone and she had a case plus a screen protector and she dropped it and boom, the screen shattered.
I don't have a case on mine.
Yeah, you don't have or you do have?
No, I haven't had a case on my phone for probably 5 years now. Never buy cases.
Here's the thing. I was using my robot vacuum cleaner about a year ago and I was on a phone call and I said, hold on a second. I set my phone down and then I got up and the Roomba bumped onto my phone and it was like, it just like latched onto it and kind of went and it slid it.
Never going to let go of it.
It slid it across the floor and I had a waterproof case on mine. It just scratched a beep onto the back of the, it looked awful. And I went, wow. Oh my God.
You know what that is? That's the first sign of your machines coming to actual blows. I think the robot was.
Say, this is the first occurrence of my dementia setting in.
No, I mean, maybe it could be that. Now you bring it up. But it also could just be robot on robot violence because the vacuum sees the other robot there that's much more useful and getting way more attention.
Thanks for pointing that out to me, Mark.
It's just going to make things worse for him, Mike. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night thinking it's coming after him next.
Yeah. Oh, that was horrible. And It just made this grinding noise.
No, yeah, but that was fun.
Did we chew through the case?
It's like having a dog. You're just like, drop it.
We have a lot of gravel. We have a lot of gravel here, and it just went.
Oh, no.
It's that's right, Mike. We'll just tell the robot, drop it. Drop it.
Yeah.
did it eat the case up?
No. It just slid it across the floor.
But it just scratched up the case itself.
Yeah.
Wow, not the phone. Well, see, that if you didn't have a case, I suppose the Apple Care Plus would be something for you. You know, the one benefit of the Care Plus, it only costs you $29 to get a screen replaced. And so you can have the screen just replaced twice if you're that bad. I guess if you're one of those that drop it all the time, that I suppose that would be a good price to stick I just with. Don't. Yeah, you know, and it's $99 for other services you have to have on it. And if you lose it or if it's stolen, then you only pay $149. So I suppose it's kind of like having an insurance on your phone. If it's your livelihood. I mean, for most of us, it is a livelihood. I don't know what I would do if somebody stole my phone. I would be honest. It would be devastating because we would have to come up with the money for that all at once. So it makes you wonder if insurance isn't a bad idea, but it's what? So I'm not sure exactly on the cost, but per month, and I'm not sure if that's per device or if they have a family. I'm guessing it's per device.
And I'm not sure either, but these days I don't go anywhere and I don't have any friends. I have thieves that are friends that might damage my phone, but I don't know. For me, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think for some it is. Don't get me wrong. I think it's perfect for some, and I think you should. But I know the three of us don't, and I know that we would be in a world of hurt if one of my kids.
Oh,
I would tell you know what? I have a 5S phone right here for you to use.
Right.
So I got old phones here sitting around, and they can use that until they, you know, save up money for a new phone. Not only that new phone, but to pay me off the rest of that phone that got stolen.
Yep,
we're ruined.
And speaking of that, I think they offer trade-ins. Then you get more of a deal on buying a phone. Or am I wrong on that?
I don't know. If the listeners out there know, drop us an email at unleash@applevis.com. I'd be curious too what you guys think of this idea and if that's something you would do. And if you know if it gives you more incentives, such as give you more back. Probably that would be nice. I wonder if Apple does give you a little bit more than say like Best Buy does. We'll find out. It'll be interesting this fall when we get the new iPhone 12s. But iOS 14 dropped, guys. Boom, boom. It dropped. I couldn't believe it, but the adoption rate for it is up to 26%. Last I checked was up to 30%. It got that quick in 5 days. That is way faster than the unlucky 13 that we had. What is your experience with 14, both of you?
Mostly good.
Yeah, same here.
Mostly good?
Mostly good. I have random, like when I close an app or something, the whole phone just kind of stops responding for a couple of seconds and then it'll like... It's almost like the phone just kind of nodding off and it shakes its head and it's like, oh, sorry, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When did that happen? Just randomly or?
Yeah. Just sometimes when I close an app and it doesn't do it all the time either. But like I'll just close an app or something and the whole thing just kind of locks up for a minute.
If I am streaming something, like if I'm in Overcast and I'm streaming something, it will sometimes I don't get any voice at all.
Yes. Now, I don't have that happen in streaming, but when I hang up a phone call, I get where VoiceOver doesn't talk anymore. You can hear the clicks going click, click, click. And I was like, hello, hello. And I have to turn off VoiceOver. And if I turn back VoiceOver on, it still doesn't work. I turn it off one more time and then turn it back on again. And then it comes back.
And I don't really mean to make light of this, but isn't it funny that what blind people have to go through sometimes?
You know, yeah.
Check the work. It's like, come on. Hello, hello.
That's the only major thing. I mean, we are reporting one serious bug, the release of 14, 6 moderate, and 13 minor. It may sound like a lot, but that's a lot less than we had last year for darn sure. And really, I've seen some of the minor ones. Now, the serious one, I have seen, and when it does happen, it is a that's when I want to throw the phone to the robot, to your Roomba. Here, chew on it all you want.
So what bug are we talking about?
It is when you're using Safari or anything HTML based. Sometimes it works great. I'm able to read through it, and sometimes I'll flick, and then it goes right back to the top. I said, what the heck? And I'll go back, and it goes right back to the top. A lot of jumping all over the place on HTML. Yeah. And so I end up having just touch explore until I get to the part where I have not listened to, and then it kind of calms down and then it comes back again. That's the only serious one. We originally we had it moderate because we thought it didn't happen all the time. But when you did experience it, it was serious. So it was a very hard, it was on a, it was on that line. We were wanting to do serious, but we, as a team, we decided moderate. But after listening to our listeners and our users on the AppleViz website, a lot of people were having that same problem. So we bumped that up to serious. So
did you report that bug that I had mentioned or did you not?
The
streaming bug.
No, I have not heard that one. Now, I have heard about Mike's issue where it'll just kind of stop for a couple seconds here and there for no rhyme or reason. I've seen that all the way through beta, and that it still continues to do it. And those I know has been reported, but I've not heard about the streaming issue. I do a lot of streaming. I haven't had that issue. It's just weird how certain phones do this and certain phones don't.
Yeah.
Yep, I've had one. I think it's only happened twice. The like that click that Safari makes when you're opening a new web page or something like that.
Yeah,
I opened a page and it started doing that, and then the page loaded and it kept doing that.
Yes,
and then I closed that tab and it kept doing that, and like I closed every tab, force quit Safari, and it still kept making that noise. I had to restart my phone to make it stop.
Oh yeah, the loading noise.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll have that scene. I'm done. I got it in the background, and it's already loading. It's going tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. It never stops.
I even closed the Apple. I even closed it from the app switch. I closed Safari. And it goes tick, tick. I
know. It sounds like a bomb ready to go off, doesn't it?
Right. So I had to go open Safari again, go find a site, load it, and then it stops. No, I've had other people speak of it, and I also know that has been reported. But we just got to sit and wait. What things do you guys like about iOS 14? Have you got to play with any of the new features?
Oh, I love the double tap feature.
Oh, the back tap?
Back tap, sorry.
What do you guys have that set to do?
For me, I have the double tap to go home, and the triple tap is my magic tap.
Because Same here.
Yes, the back tap is beautiful. So you are using it, Randy. And what about you, Mike?
I have one set right now, and it's actually it's the fall. I don't know how, those of you that live far enough out, the elk are bugling now. So actually, I have one of mine set to open the voice record app and just start recording immediately. Because we'll just be hanging out like 11 at night, and the elk will start bugling outside. So I'll just grab my phone and tap it.
Go tap, tap, and it's open up and you're recording. That is beautiful. That's a great idea.
But again, now at the same time, I'll pick it up and then like, I'm like, why is my phone freaking out? And then I'll realize that it's got the voice memo thing open. It's recording. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, now speaking of that, you guys taking advantage of you with the newer phones, stereo recording?
I have not tried it. It seems like it's on most of the recorder that I have, like Dolby, Just Press Record has it. Everybody but the voice memo has it, and that's just like, what the hell? It's like voice memo doesn't happen.
My findings are that I don't know if it's my ears or if it's the case or the separation, but I don't notice any stereo recordings until I put on a pair of Bluetooth headphones, and then I notice it. But the spectrum is not that deep. I don't think it's that full yet. I think they have more work to do on it. What do you guys think?
That doesn't surprise me. It did not surprise me, Randy. They probably designed the speakers to be like not a total full left and not a total full right. It's kind of the best of both. Kind of like if you're thinking about full left, full right, and up for middle, it's almost like it's towards the middle almost. So it's got, I get the same sound out of both. Maybe you can tell in some movies a little bit difference. It is there if you're listening for it, but on an iPhone, it's just the spreadness of the speakers. It's just not great enough to be able to be picked up by my ears yet. I have not tested the stereo recording. I have wondered if kind of move around the phone and see if it actually goes to full left, full right. But you're saying on a headphones. Does it do a full left?
No, it's not beautiful. It's there, but the spectrum isn't that wide.
No, that's disappointing. That is not what I would call stereo.
Well, remember, that's just my opinion, but I'm wondering if it has to do with noise cancellation that the mics offer. Maybe it's not, maybe it can't do full stereo. I'm not saying it can or can't. I'm just not sure.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, if there's what other possible like limitations there might be that are affecting it and keeping it from like being as good as it potentially could be.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I haven't messed with it enough to really have a clue.
Yeah, I'm going to think that might be the case, because when I played with Android phones, they're, you know, the stereo separation is really good.
Wow.
So there might be some, they might have to work at it some.
I think stereo, in my definition, is full left, full right. And if you ever, I get it. You got to have a center speaker too. And maybe that's worth their thinking. That center speaker kind of takes away the left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like we get all three at the same time. It's what they're trying to give us experience.
Yeah.
And so with that, you're going to get that subtle difference to left and right, but not sharply as you would on a stereo speaker. I don't know. You cannot downgrade back to iOS 13. So you're stuck with 14 if you're with 14. Now, however, there are some new things I have learned about some of the features from users and listeners. And one of those is Randy here and Michael and Joe. They did me a great big favor. So I was getting really confused and I'm about this back tap and what works for what phone. And I was getting so confused because a lot of iPhone 8 people were saying, well, our back tap works as well. It works. And so I did some experiment and with Randy, and thank God we were able to figure this out. And Randy made it the finding to me. Thank you, Randy, for that. So there is two sections of the back tap. The back tap that I did a podcast on, it's actually under the voiceover area, under the touch gestures. Those are mostly all voiceover gesture-based. So in other words, swipe left, swipe up, right, and those kind of things you cannot do on an iPhone 8. You have to have the newer phones to do that. However, in saying that, which is going to totally confuse you and myself, and I'm still confused, if you just go under accessibility, don't go under the voiceover, but just go down to touch and then go all the way to the bottom, there's a back tap. What I like about this back tap is that it is not voiceover items. This is more of a system. So like app switcher, control center, even does Apple shortcuts. Even does a double, you can just assign it to Siri, but yes, it is there and it does work on iPhone 8. And so I'm thinking to myself, why would that make any difference and how it works if it works on that, but not for the voiceover touch gesture? So I'm just so massively confused and still confused.
I'll see if I can shed a little light on this for you.
Well, thank you. It's all those YouTubes?
No. This is my own speculation. The majority of the people that put some of these casts out, I think, are not voiceover users. They're system users. So they wouldn't know. They have never tested that theory, I wouldn't think, like Tom has, because obviously Tom has extensively research the voiceover part of it. So I think we're looking at two separate entities here.
We are. We're talking about, what is it?
A system setting and a voiceover.
It is like two totally separate things, really. I mean, one of them was designed for voiceover in mind, and the other one was designed for assistive touch. So it's kind of like adds on to the assistive touch.
That is so smooth how you just went right into that explanation, Tom. How did you do that?
I listened to YouTube real quick.
Okay.
But it just blows my mind. It doesn't make any sense, though. Why would it work for iPhone 8 and they can use the back tap for assistive touch, but not for voiceover touch gesture?
So what are your feeling on setting all this up for a user of back tapping?
I think I will use the back tap under the assistive touch area more than I would on the voiceover, just simply because, like Mike has found, you can have shortcuts. So you can go straight to voice recorder and open up and tap. Now that this brings up a whole new realm, so I'm going to be totally probably play with it and change it a little bit. So it totally redefined my usage.
So how did you set yours up, Mike? What through which means did you set up your back tapping on?
I think it was the as soon as you click on or open the accessibility setting, scroll down to touch.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm that's sure why it worked for you. Yeah. Well, on the 8, I'm going to put another weird thing into it. On the 8, I can't do anything with back tapping. On my to go to assistive touch, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't show up on my phone. I mean, it shows up, but the buttons that you select don't work.
So where the back tap is, it has two items. It says double tap and triple tap. So if you tap on double tap, it won't let you assign anything to it.
No,
I know, it sounds, no. There's a lot of tapping going on there.
Oh, that's not what I mean.
Double tap on triple tap.
Right, when I'm in triple tap.
When I
triple tap, then double tap, then tap.
There's a great outtake for you, Tom. What I mean is back tapping does not work for me through assistive touch. The buttons do not work. They won't let me select the option to do these things.
Now, that's another one I'd be really curious what everybody out there has experienced. And if you're running an iPhone 8 or older, I'm curious. My understanding, the iPhone 8 is the only one that's able to see the back tap as well. So like the older device, iPhone 7 doesn't see that. It's so confusing and convoluted what works on what, because we really, you know, honestly, I don't have all these phones to test on. And a lot of our team members are either iPhone 8 and above. So it's hard to test on everything and to know what works on what.
Maybe the model of iPhone 8, so I don't know. But yeah. Maybe some of you
basically, I'm just going to tell people, I said, let's see if you have that feature. Go to VoiceOver, go down to Commands, go under Touch Gestures, and go down. Do you have it? You don't, then your model doesn't support it. Try go under Touch under the root of Accessibility and see if you have back tap. That's all I can recommend to people. And it is odd that you can't get it to work. You have an iPhone 8 though, and there's other iPhone 8 users like Michael Hansen. He got his to work as well, and it works just fine for him. There's some other really cool things I learned from our listeners and users. When widgets, when you have widgets on your home screen, if you have a stack, I showed in my podcast, you can flick up once and go to the next stack or the previous stack, but you can just do a 3-finger swipe up and down to go through the different widgets on a stack. I thought that was very nice and very useful and informative for people to know. Plus, a 1-finger triple tap on the widget will allow you to remove stacks and to add more things to it. So it's a little easier that way. I keep forgetting about the 1-finger triple tap. It is something I rarely ever use. Guys even knew about the 1-finger?
Oh, yeah. I use mine for notifications.
Do you? What do you mean? You do a 1-finger triple tap on a notification?
No. If I'm on my home screen and I want to get to my notifications rather than pull things down, this was before the pull down worked. Remember the old days when it would not work in iOS 13? Okay. So I set it to triple tap and it would go immediately to my notification bar.
Ah. Okay.
And I liked it so much I left it that way. And I to tell the listeners out there, I'm not a big fan of the way the widgets work. I don't care for the widgets. I won't use them, I don't think. That's now. But
well, that's pretty much what when we were talking about the new widget coming in my review a couple months back, I said I didn't like it either. It's kind of like you're going to either love it or you hate it. And there are people that love it and there's people that don't like it. I just think it just takes too much real estate for my liking, and I don't like the arrangement. And I like that the battery's there and I can assign. You know, there's a lot of different apps you can download called Widget Mitch, I think it's called. And it allows you to kind of like a launch pad. It allows you to create stacks based on shortcuts that you made, and you can put it in that that widget stack. So there probably are some uses. I just haven't delved into it deep enough to find any real meaningful purposes for my users.
Yeah, same here. Like when I touch the right top of my screen, it shows me my battery indicator. I don't know how much more easier it can get.
Well, I like to check my watch and my headphones a lot. And so I would like the battery status to show my headphone status because I'm one of those that don't charge it up all the time. So I only charge it when it needs to. So it's nice to not have a headphones I put on and it goes beep, beep, beep.
If I have a Bluetooth speaker enabled, I just ask, what is my battery status? And it tells me everything that's on my phone, my speaker, everything. That's just another way of doing it. I mean, it works fine for me. So that's why I don't use widgets.
I have one. My second page has a weather widget, especially as fall creeps toward winter here. Mm-hmm. That'll be a little more useful. But I actually took all but, let's see, I have the apps in my dock and I have 5 apps on my first page. I put the rest of them all in the app library. Just get out. They're all gone.
All? Do you love the app library yourself then?
Yes. The organization is weird, but there's a search box right at the top. So I just, because I don't use a ton of different apps all the time. Like the few that I do use a lot are still out of it.
Uh-huh.
But like the banking apps and the stuff that I don't need that often, I just put them in there. They're out of the way.
You know what? You know, that's another thing. You either use it or you don't.
You wouldn't use it for banking, I wouldn't think, because you spent all your money on Apple products or Amazon products. So why would you need that there?
Right. That'll be that one.
That's another one I learned is that if you're in the app library, you don't have to double tap on the search to see the full list. You can just don't tap on the search, but right where the area where it shows you the different categories, get that focus and do a 3-finger swipe down, and I'll bring up the all full list app in alphabetized order.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I like it. There's just so much space, empty no man's land on my phone now.
Now you're really going to forget what apps you had and what you don't want to
do. I know.
Because I'm one of those every so often, every couple of months, I'll go through all my folders and say, I really don't need this anymore. I really don't need this anymore. And now if I put it in the app library, I'll forget about it unless it's the full list.
It'll just be there forever.
It'll be there forever. So those are a lot of the new things I learned. And iOS 14 has gotten off a good start, I think. And now, for some reason, we jumped to 14.2 beta 1 for myself. So they skipped 14.1 entirely. And I'm wondering what the heck that's. I'm guessing that is going to come out when the iPhone is released. So when the keynote comes up in October, which has been discussed that October 13th, a lot of people are talking about. It will be coming out the 13th. But 14.2, however, had a couple new stuff in there. And I kind of like these new feature. It's not so much you can now use Shazam in your control center. So it's now an option to add your control center. The two other things that comes with besides Shazam is a whole new media control. I'm not sure how I like this. And when I mean media controls, when you go into your lock screen or on your control center, there's a media control. It seems to be a little bit bigger, as in it'll show me what I previously listened before what I listened. And it's like, so there's more content on the media controls, what you're currently listening, what you listened before, and et cetera. And it's interesting. Again, it takes more real estate space and a lot more flicking, more my liking. Obviously, this is still beta. Hopefully, they'll fix that some of that, but I got a funny feeling it won't. But the biggest feature, guys, is the magnifier. If you're a magnifier user, it comes with a people detector. Yes, like you need to know that there's people there. But I think it's kind of funny when I say it's a people detector. You know, this person standing in front of you. But really what it does is kind of like an AI. So when you kind of use your magnifier, it'll tell you there's a laptop there or there's a window there. But on the person, it's going to use some sort of AR. It's supposed to tell you the distance between you and that person. Now, I'm not sure how that is going to be helpful for people using magnifier on any of these items. It's kind of like, I get it. A lot of visual people think this is like really going to help us. You know, they go, oh, it tells you there's a laptop though. You never, that's like, I knew there's a laptop. I can feel it. I suppose if you're low vision, you're not quite sure what you're looking at, maybe the AI will be able to identify and tell you what it is. That's the only thing I can think of. And obviously the AR, and why it's 14.2, that makes sense to me because it's going to be all about the LIDAR, the distance between such and such an object. So I think that's what they're trying to incorporate. And I guess that would be helpful for some to say, how far is it from this to here? But again, it's kind of like, put your arm out and you can, it's like 2 feet.
I have over the weekend been trying to figure out a way to use this kind of stuff at the shooting range. Cause I like shooting guns and I have a rifle that has, I have a mount for my phone that sits right behind the scope. So I can open, say, a camera on my phone and then a spotter, whoever can be right next to me and talk me onto the target that I'm shooting at. I've been trying to figure out a way to use these types of apps to be able to have my phone identify the target for me and somehow talk me toward the actual center of it. So I'm kind of excited about this stuff because now I'm thinking of a completely different application for it.
So
I imagine not many people have
ever seen this. I can just see this already. So your scope is talking to you. It's like grass, grass, tree, rabbit.
Yeah. I mean, and I want, cause I was thinking, cause they have even like, oh gosh, I completely forgot the name of the app. Seeing AI, they have like a light detector. And I was thinking if I could find a way to stick a light, even like a little tiny LED or something, a glow stick in the middle of a black target, then if I could get the scope zoomed in on it, in theory, it should work. Make some kind of tone change for a glow stick. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point. And with the LiDAR, it'll tell you this, you know, 30 meters or something. And obviously, it's not going to go out that far. I mean, I think it only does 15 feet for now.
Yeah, but if I imagine if it's looking through a scope that's zoomed in 100 yards.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm really curious to try it out, though, and see what I can actually make work.
That's a good point, and I'm glad you bring that because, you know, I can't think of something. It doesn't mean that other people won't have use for it, and I know other people have use for it. You know, that'd be a good another thing for your listeners. If you have ideas that you could think of, please do send me an email. I would love to hear them because I want to know what kind of things that would be useful because, you know, a lot of you guys either come out with some really fantastic idea I just don't think about because I don't watch YouTubes as much, and
I think there's a dig in there somewhere.
Yeah, I like this YouTube thing.
Kids these days.
And so it's moving forward is that October 13th is what we're thinking is when the iPhone keynote is. That's what we're all waiting for. And it's still on for four phones. Everybody's still talking about the four phones. The only thing that's new is that the iPhone 12 will be called the iPhone 12. And there'll be the iPhone 12 mini. That's the only change they've made, which is called the mini. I was like, what? It's going to be a 5.4-inch model. So it's quite a bit smaller than the iPhone 11 model. I think the iPhone 11 was a 5.8. So you are losing some real estate. So I can see why it's a mini. But I am curious the cost. You know, I would hope it has a more of a mini price. But knowing Apple, probably not. We'll have to see. That's one thing to see. But everything is still on target. The only thing I've heard, and it still seems to be legit and pretty going to be spot on, is that the bottom two, the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 mini, are the only two models that are going to be available in October to order. And then you have to wait till November if you want to get the Pro models. Still discussing 5G and everything, but everything is still on target. What is your thought on mini? Would that change your mind about the SE for iPhone SE for you, Randy?
No, not for me because because of the speaker, I think it probably would be a smaller speaker, and I'm okay with a speaker on the 8. I would love to see bigger speakers, but they wouldn't give them to me on the mini, I'm sure. I just like the sound of a good phone.
You like that a lot. And I get that. I mean, gosh, it almost makes me wonder because I would love to have a smaller phone. But I don't know yet. I need to see this LiDAR stuff and what the upper Pro models has differences. I'm still waiting on that to see to make that decision. And so I'm kind of up in the air. Right now, without knowing anything, I would definitely go with the Mini because of the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, smaller. I would love to have a smaller. What I'm really ready for is that they really say the productivity on AirTags is on its way and it's going to be announced along with my AirPod Studio at last. I've been dying for the studio. I don't know why, guys. I've just been dying to wait for the studio. And we've talked about that quite a bit previous months before a new headphone that will go with the AirPod lineup. So it'll be a headphone.
How much is that thing?
I'm hearing anywhere from $250 to $299.
Oh, that's not horrible.
It is. I heard it's pretty comparable to, gosh, the Bose, AKG, Sony, all those. They're up there in that 250 with the noise cancellation. It's pretty right on par for that type of quality of a headphone. Mm-hmm. AppleVis related news to move on is that there's a new game out there. I have not tried it. I would love to try it. It's called Accessible 2048. I've heard the game 2048. Basically, what it is that you, it's to try to combine numbers to get to that number exactly. So you can't be off, you can't be over, you have to get it exactly. It sounds like a lot of fun. There's a lot of sound effects and things like that. I played a similar game like that. I think it's called 13. So between you and a robot, you pick a number and you add the numbers up and whoever gets the 13 wins. And it's kind of tricky how you do
that. I can barely count to 7. So I don't think for me that would work very well.
Some major updates. Blind Square got a big one. I'm excited for this. Blind Square is now accessible for Apple Watch. So if you have an Apple Watch, you can now use Blind Square on it. And it now offers speech recognition on the new Blind Square. Knight Commander, for those that remember this game that came out, oh gosh, a couple of years back, he totally redesigned the engine core inside of it and added some new features. That has been a pretty hot game a couple of years back, and a lot of people have been hearing about the picking the game back up, finding out what the new feature is. So if you have Knight Commander, be sure to update it and check it out. And the last one is Lyray RSS reader. I haven't heard about Lyray for the longest time, but apparently they came out with a major new version 5.0 with some new features and design. However, I have not been able to test it because if you are a previous owner of Lyray, you will have to purchase for an update for Lyray 5.0. And honestly, it is $10 for the update. Ouch. And that pushed me. I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I got NetNewsWire and Newsify. I love Lyray for what it does, but I'm not paying $10 more. I'm already paid.
I'd spend the extra $5 and get VoiceDream Reader if I was going to do that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and it's kind of a shame. I think it kind of pushed it out for a lot of us. Unless you're a hardcore Lyray user, I suppose you can use it. But because I have alternative solution that I like better, no, I'm not going to buy it. But anyhow, anywho, that is something to just check out.
Yeah, that's a lot. I used to use that app all the time, too.
Which one? Oh, you used to and now you don't?
Yeah, I haven't for a while. It's in my app library now.
Which one do you use now?
I don't have an RSS reader now.
Oh, you don't have any?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm testing out this whole other theory of not paying attention to anything and seeing what that does for me. So
that's what I've done for all my life. I just don't pay attention.
Living off the grid means living off the grid.
Yeah, that's also that really actually is a reason why I don't wear my Apple Watch, because I want to be able to set my phone down and walk away from it and not have to deal with anything.
Go so. Shoot things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I know this show is running longer than normal, but I think it's going to be well worth your time listening, because I think the next two items is definitely worth talking. So are you boys ready to talk about beyond Apple stuff?
Yes. And let's go beyond on Apple.
Beyond Apple. The one thing I want to talk about, the first item, is something called a Netgear Orbi mesh router. Why I'm talking about this is because my router, I had a Netgear Nighthawk before this, and the problem I have with the stupid thing is that I have dead spots in the house that I live in now. There are some low-end spots, and my son will call me and say, would you reboot the router again? I'm like rebooting it like every 2 or 3 days for him. And so I decided to look for something new, and my youngest son says, oh, Dad, you need to check out this Orbi. PC Magazine's been talking about it. And I said, really? So I picked one up from my local Walmart and just installed it. And it was such a breeze install. There was one little area, which we'll talk about with Randy experience. But once I got it hooked up, what a mesh means is that it comes with satellites. So it's kind of like a access point. In other words, you have your main router, right? And then you have these satellites you can put around your house in different areas that you have lower bandwidth issue or problems where you have dead spots, and lo and behold, you put a satellite in that area and it just makes it day and night difference for my son. He says, I have never gotten the speed before, and now he's getting like the full speed as we were up here if you're next to the router. Absolutely love the thing and never had a single problem with it. I've had it for about a month and a half now and never had to touch it, reboot it, nothing. So I told Randy about it, and Randy just fell in love with the idea and bought himself one. Isn't that right, Mr. Randy?
Yeah, well, how it started was he and I call each other all the time for tech stuff, and we basically have formed somewhat of a friendship. Anyway, so he and I were talking about all kinds of tech stuff because I just recently got a new computer and that's what I'm on right now. And we were talking about, you know, improvements to them. And I have some dead spots. Like I'm on Zoom so much now that I would be, you know, making a contact and I'd hear your internet connection has become unstable. I'm like, oh no, and it's going to drop. It never had, but it would get kind of spotty. So I said, well, what kind of a router are you talking about, Tom? And he told me about it. And I went, all right. So I bought one. 5 minutes later, I had one in my Amazon basket.
5 minutes.
And I love the darn thing. No more unstable connections. Everything is crystal clear. It's, if I go outside my backyard, I get three bars. Four bars.
Yeah, the satellite makes a huge difference. I mean, I live kind of not really, not, I wouldn't say a small house, but I would say it's probably 1,500 square foot, maybe.
Yeah, mine's 1,300.
And so the satellite, with one satellite, is supposed to cover 3,000. I think you got two. What's that cover? 4,000 or 5,000?
4,500, I think.
Yeah, so it's just, so you just think in mind how much more. Yeah, it gets further out, but the thing is, I can go in the backyard and I still have all four bars, like Randy said. Mm-hmm. And even from the distance I was, I even have a gigabit router, and I even have Zoom issues where, like, internet connection is slow. And it's just like, how is that possible? But in Orbi, I never had that issue. It's beautiful.
Right.
And the only issue we had, though, you can tell them what issue we had with it, was a setup, right?
Well, Tom, the issue I had was the QR code. I could not get past the QR codes.
Really?
I would hold my phone, no matter what distance I would hold it on, it would not read the QR codes for me. So
weird.
I had to go into setup manually mode and do just that.
Well, yeah, it's weird because I didn't have that problem because what you have to do is you have to download an Orbi app, which is pretty accessible, not fully accessible, but accessible enough to use. The step-by-step process to get Orbi online was pretty accessible. Mm-hmm. You have to scan the QR code of each of the device so it knows what device to look for, and then mm-hmm. it connects. And then the next thing it wants is the password on the main router. And I had CNAI to read it to me, but you said you didn't have any luck with that.
Right, yeah. I know. I texted Tom. I said, "Hell, what am I supposed to do?"
But once you enter the passcode, everything was pretty much
a breeze. Oh, you know, it was amazing because when I entered it in, everything came online again, and I have 25 devices online, and they all.
So you need to build a little funnel of those little satellite dishes all the way to my house, so I can just use yours.
So you can have that. I'll buy 100 satellites to expand it out towards.
I'll buy another 100.
Build a runway.
We'll just cover the entire Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really fascinating. So if you're in a shopping for a router, definitely check out the Netgear Orbi. I think the price is very reasonable. It's much cheaper than the other alternatives that are way more expensive. I think it does just as good job as the more expensive peers. Obviously, it doesn't offer some of the...
And like I say on my podcast, we don't do these so you go run out and buy them. We're giving you our version.
Our version, so, exactly. This is a real reality check. And this is probably the best ride I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If we could get paid, though, by them, I would definitely talk about it more.
Sponsorship just from...
Oh, yeah.
Just throw it out there, Netgear.
Uh-huh. The other beyond Apple discussion is the Amazon show came out. And I wanted to talk about that because I know Randy and I are huge Amazon fans because I own the Echo and the Echo Dot and the whole nine yards. I tell you, this new Echo sounds awesome. It sounds like the speaker is so much better. It's now more of a sphere. So it's kind of goes towards...
Kind of round out the sound a little bit.
Yeah. it makes you wonder how the sphere is going to sound, because is it like projecting in that sphere?
Well, it'll give you more of a omnidirectional sound, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of like the ones we had now, kind of goes around 360.
Not so much that, but it kind of points at the listener, I think, rather than giving you kind of more room. Like I've got the Echo Studio, and that's kind of roundish, sort of, but it just fills this room. It's awesome. So I'm imagining I kind of build from that.
Right, and the Echo Dot apparently is like a ball now. It's not a round circle, flat hockey puck.
And it's got a bigger processor, so that means faster speeds.
Yes, and I thought that was a huge plus, because it's a better processor, as in it'll be able to detect and respond to you quicker with your voice. That alone, I have to check out. If it's that substantially different, that might almost make me want to go get one.
It's like, hey, lady, did it?
Yeah. It's like, wait, you go, did it? You know, it takes a few seconds. And it's not that it bothers me, but if I can get instantaneous response, that would be beautiful.
Well, if I say the name of the device, you know, I hear like pings and pongs all over the house from answering different locations. So if it could be faster, it'd be awesome.
Well, we were talking about the Prime Days coming up, and we wonder, I was telling Randy, I definitely think they're going to have these on sale for Prime Day. If not, Black Friday will be the month after that. Surely they'll have some discount on these items. And I might seriously think about those for ourselves. I just may bring the old Echo into my room instead of the Echo Dot, and put the new Echo in the family room, because we use it so much for music and stuff. When we're making dinner or sitting down, we use it a lot. So it got me interested, and I really like that. Now, the only thing I was creeped out about, guys, is you guys hear about this Amazon show. So this is the models like the Echo, but it's got a TV screen. So it's got a bigger TV. It's got a display on it, so where the Echo and the Dot does not. But what's scary is they call it the Amazon Eye, which I call it that creepy eye, because this eye, guys, will follow you around as you walk around the room. And I'm like, no way. That would not float with my family.
Let me just put it into perspective for you a little bit. The reason they designed it for that is for, now we're all trapped inside our homes for the most part, and for video calling, they're going to have a new video app that will let you connect with your friends and family. Plus, Zoom is going to be supported. And yeah, so still, everybody's
the eye, does it really have to follow you around? It's like, let me walk across my room for you guys.
Well, it doesn't use face recognition. It uses human.
I still think it's a bad idea, though, because I have seen some really hilarious videos of people on Zoom calls. There's a senator, I think, from Argentina who recently had to resign because of one of them. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that.
Oh, come on.
YouTube that one now.
Give us a little hint.
Just know you guys got to go look for it if you want to know. But I'm imagining all the things people are going to do when they don't know this thing's following them, or they forget, because Zoom just on a computer or a phone has already caused a whole series of problems.
Oh, I know.
It's kind of hilarious, but it is.
I can't see my wife wanting to have that thing following her around the family room. That thing is looking at me.
I would definitely never put that
on
in
a
my
different
house.
Note, you can use the shutter and shut that off, and it will stop the.
Wow. Is it a physical shutter, like a switch, or is it like a digital setting?
No, it's a slide. Although that I haven't brought that up, there is a switch within the software that says stop motion.
I almost rather have a physical switch. Like
I personally would, because there used to be a Reddit community that existed only for people who were hacking webcams inside of the homes.
Yes.
And sharing the link there. And it was huge for a long time.
Even though
this was like everything from Ring doorbells to the Ring like security cameras, like all of those types of things. If it had a camera on it, people were hacking in. If it's connected online, that's a possibility. And there was a whole community of people that would just share those links back and forth.
Well, the beautiful thing about all that is they're learning this the hard way. And now Zoom is encrypted. So it's going to be literally impossible unless they were able to get into the conversation password, but they couldn't hack in like they used to. And that's going to be the same for the Ring doorbell. Now they're going to have end-to-end video encryption, which is about time. The Speaking Ring doorbell, oh my gosh, guys. They, not only do you get a Ring car alarm, which I was thinking to myself, really, how is the connectivity going to work? I have yet to understand. I listened to the show, but they never really described how the connectivity works. Like, do I have to buy GPS or, I mean, a cell service for that?
No, it runs off of it runs off your phone basically. So you tell Siri like, I want to pay for gas.
Yeah, but if I'm not in the car and the car alarm goes off.
I'm not sure about that.
It says it'll notify you, and I'm like, well, how? But anyway, my favorite is the always on, or I would call the droid. It's like Star Wars. It's like, so if it detects anything going on in your house, this drone, I kid you not, it's a Ring drone that will hover and fly around and do video covers to find out what is the cause of the motion detection. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know about this, man. Wow.
Could you imagine, like, if it failed and, like, started to come after you and, like, get your nose or something, you know?
Yeah, and they said you would be able to hear. We designed that on purpose. I'm thinking, well, I don't care what kind of a drone you have. They make a lot of noise. It goes, you know?
Yeah, they're not quiet.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they probably, it's kind of funny. We designed that on purpose so you can hear it. I'm thinking, and that's another word, you couldn't find it a way to make it silent. And
I'm already imagining all of the, like, just kind of naturally anxious and worrisome people where every time, because I know somebody who had a Ring doorbell, and every time it went off, they're like, what is that? What's going on? Like, middle of the night, like, any time, and they were obsessing over it. Now I'm like picturing this in addition, like, man, before long.
I changed, there's a feature in there. I changed mine to facial only. So in other words, you can use this on the Ring doorbell 2.0. It's not like you have to have a facial recognition, but it's smart enough to know that it's a person instead of just a car going by.
That's
and
right.
So I turned that option on and it made a huge difference as in activity going off and on. So if it detects a person, then it goes off. And that's, I like that setting quite a bit and it saves your battery. Quite a bit too, but you know, Randy was telling me about, and our good friend Robin Christofferson was talking to Randy.
Yeah,
tell us about that story about what you would do with this drone.
Well, Robin was talking to me, and we were talking echo to echo device at the time, and he was saying he's going to be very still and have everybody leave, and then he was going to motion and put his head down, and it would give him a haircut as it buzzed by.
Got a little close there.
Yeah, funny stuff. Speaking of the Ring doorbell, did you hear about the newly revamped Ring doorbell 2?
No.
It's going to be virtually the same. It's going to have a little different body on it, but it's $100 for the device.
Well, that's really cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say, and the reason I say that, folks, is because when I bought the Ring doorbell, I think they were going for what, $150 to $200?
Like $179 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And now they're only $99.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I also bought a charger for mine that supports two batteries. So I'm going to put one on the back door, and then I'd be able to just swap out the batteries as they go dead. I think that's just a really neat idea. That's
one thing I have regret. I bought the Ring without the battery, so I have to take the whole physical thing off to charge it, and it is a pain in my butt because...
Well, it kind of is, but you should think about getting a charger for yours.
You can buy it for it?
Yes.
Additional?
Yeah. I think it was $40. You get a battery included. So, wait a minute. No, is that right? Yes, you get at the time I bought mine, you got a battery and a charger. So you charge up the battery. It's got two ports in it. So you still have to take the faceplate off, but you can just plunk in another battery. Just plunk a tech word, and then you will be able to just go on your way and put it back together. And you'll lose 30 seconds of time, but I used to have to wait and charge mine up for like 8 hours.
Yes, that's another thing I was to tell you. I'm definitely going to check that out. And so this, the Ring that I have, You have to untake it off the faceplate to charge it. And this is not a fast charger at all. I don't know what the heck they have in this thing, but it takes hours on hours.
I know.
I was like, this is ridiculous. It takes probably 4 or 5 hours, maybe a little bit more.
So you let me know when you're going to do it next time. And me and my buddies will break into your home. And
yeah, I absolutely love the Ring, and I would highly recommend it. It is awesome. The app is kind of...
I don't know. I don't like the app that much.
It's really for me knowing that somebody's at the door. And I really like that aspect of it because we don't have a doorbell. At the place I live, it's just you just use the knock, and I usually don't hear the people knocking because it's downstairs. I live upstairs, and so I don't hear. So the new one, it works beautiful. I highly recommend it. But
you know what you should try?
Yeah,
you should try the setup that I have here, which is just a bunch of dogs. they just go crazy. I won't hear it, but I just follow wherever the herd is. I'll just go that way.
Mike is awesome, man.
And I have the same thing here. I've got 5 dogs. How many do you have?
I've got 5 dogs.
You guys have a herd.
Yeah.
You guys got a herd, and then it's probably just going.
They
are the best alarm system or door detector you could ever have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sound like you just want to just tear people to pieces.
So if you don't want to spend as much money that Randy and I do, we'll do the Mike method.
Yeah, why do you need that? It's all natural. It's environmentally friendly. So if you're one of those people, you know, just try it out.
Don't need a watch. Don't need a ring.
Energy efficient, usually.
I love it, Mike. You know, I wish we were all back to that state. You know, it's just so funny how that used to be the normalcy. And now look at us. You're either or, you know, you're in this.
Yeah. I talk to people now and they're like, you what? Like they just living in a place that doesn't have internet and has a bunch of dogs. It's just unusual now.
Oh man. Well, is it great to have you both again for September AppleViz Unleash. And once again, thank you guys for coming on.
Oh, we're done already. Okay. Yeah. It's been nice to be here. Hopefully we give you some great information as usual.
Awesome. Yeah, any other announcement really we should good make
show, before? I thought.
Oh, if you want a new phone, but you don't want, if you're not waiting for like the newest of the phone, I've been getting messages from my carrier about iPhone 11s being off $200-$300. So go check that out.
Ooh, that's a great idea. It could be so much cheaper.
Some extra. Yeah.
Instead of getting an SC for the same price. That is a possibility, Mike. That's a great, thank you for letting us know.
Yeah, I got
about
the same
that.
Thing from T-Mobile.
And I figured they're probably all doing some kind of version of that right now. So
definitely, especially when the iPhones definitely come out, you definitely want to probably hop on there. If you don't want an SE but can't really afford the 12, go for that. I think that should be a better alternative too for the same price or around the same price if you can do that.
I have received one from Consumer Cellular, which I'm not a member of, but they basically say that if you made it this far, you don't need to get another phone. Just hope you live longer.
That is so true. See, that's a Mike philosophy there too.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it broken? Don't replace it. Does it work? Don't replace it. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do for AppleViz Unleashed for September 2020. My name is Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous. Until next time, bye-bye.
This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleViz.com.